Take your Bibles, turn them to a familiar passage that should automatically flip open, and that is Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 10. Again, we've been in that passage all month long, and so it should be automatically opening to that page. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. If you're not careful, you know, you can wear some of those pages out. You use them so much that it'll begin to fall out. My book of Ephesians or Philippians has fallen out because I use it so much the first couple years of my salvation and teaching a Sunday school class. And it just so happens to be right next to, you guessed it, Ephesians. Amen. And so Ephesians chapter 6. And verse number 10, I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. It's been the starting point each week. And then I'm going to ask you to join into verse number 17 with me, which is the theme for this month. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Anybody need just a second to get there? Amen. I think everybody's there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. If you would, look up front with me real quick before we get started. Be able to stand. Be able to withstand has been our theme. And then also, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And we're talking about standing. We talked about standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about standing for the Christian home, because the church is only going to be as strong as the home is. And talking about now standing for the Bible. So those three or four areas we have discussed thus far. And so we're continuing with standing for the Bible. Verse number 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Reason why is verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting an enemy we can see, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemy that we are battling, we cannot see. Hence, the armor is necessary. And verse 10 and 11. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. And so that is our encouragement for the year. We're standing for the Lord. We're standing for the Christian home. We're standing for the local church. Now I'm talking about standing for the Bible. Read with me verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul encourages the church at Ephesus. He says, you know what? There's a lot of things that I want you to stand for, but he focuses on verse 17, on taking the armor of the helmet of salvation. That means that we need to not only make sure that we're saved, but make sure others know that you're saved as well by how you act. Amen. And so if I'm going to take that helmet, guess what? You can visually see this. It not only protects him, but allows you to see that he is protected. And so it is with the helmet of salvation. It protects you spiritually, but it lets others see as well in your life if you live the right life. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Hey.
Say, preacher, are you preaching already? Not yet. He says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He says, your offensive weaponry involves the word of God. You cannot battle Satan on his terms. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you've got to have your supply of the word of God. If you've got your helmet on, if you know you're saved, if others know you're saved, you're going to need the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. Father, bless now the next moments that we have as we continue looking at standing for the Bible. Lord, we've answered some questions about what the Bible is, and help us to further this study this morning. That as we leave here, Lord, we can leave equipped. We can leave here ready. We can leave here able to stand. And Lord, able to withstand in a better way. Lord, the forces that are against us are wickedness and evil. And I pray that you would help us this morning as we stand against the wiles of the devil, knowing that its principalities, knowing its powers, knowing its spiritual wickedness in high places. God, help us to stand with our armor fully on. And Lord, may we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and battle the forces of evil. It's the only offensive weapon we have other than our prayers. And so, Lord, help us to do exactly that today. If there's a man, a woman, or a boy or girl that's not born again, help them to see they must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then help them to rejoice, knowing that they're saved by the word of God or the sword of the Spirit. Bless now in the morning's sermon and in the song that we'll hear. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Ms. Dawson has our special this morning.
Sometimes life just comes crashing in, and you can't catch your breath. No, you can't seem to win. And sometimes life leaves you feeling so cold, like a child in the dark with no hand to hold. But this thing I'm sure of, this thing I know, whatever your problem, to my God you can go. He is present in the midst of your distress. He has never been perplexed. He knows all and he sees. He is faithful through every trial and test, and his ways are always best. So just trust and believe. When your soul is overwhelmed, he is there. When your soul is overwhelmed, he is there. Ooh. Sometimes life can bring so much pain that you can't glimpse the rainbow through the rain. And sometimes grief can cut so deep that you cannot even rest, and there just seems to be no. He is there.
Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. He is there. Amen. God is there for us. Amen. By the way, he is there for me, and I do pray he's there for you as well. Amen. That is one thing that we can say as a child of God. God is always going to be there for us. Amen. May not be in the way that you think he ought to be or the way you feel he should be, but he's always there nonetheless. Amen. And they always say if it feels like you're far away from God, guess who moved? Amen. Because he is the Lord. He changes not. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue talking about standing for the Bible. And we left off with talking about what is the Bible. What is the Bible? By the way, you can have a lot of books. But if you don't have this book, you're in trouble. Amen. We read the scriptures how the Bible was lost in the temple back over in the Old Testament. And I tell you what, if you can go a whole week without cracking the book of this, the pages of this book, you are in bad shape. Now, I know you say, well, preacher, I get it online. I understand that. I'm just talking about you got to get in the Bible. Amen. I'm old fashioned. I've got a computer and I've got my Bible on computer, but I still like the pages of this book. Amen. You can see they're falling out. Amen. And it's been said, you show me a guy whose Bible is falling apart, I'll show you a guy who's not. Amen. Amen. Or gal, whichever the case may be. Right. Or young person, if me. Amen. But the Bible is the word of God. You cannot go without it. By the way, as goes the Bible in the home, so goes the home. Somebody say amen. Amen. As goes the Bible in the home, so goes the home. As goes the Bible in the school, so goes the school. As goes the Bible in the country, so goes the country. As goes the Bible in the church, so goes the church. Amen. Hey, I know a lot of churches that have gone away from this King James book. Amen. We are going to stick with this book. We're going to stand by the stuff. We're going to go till times get tough. They can scoff and they can mock and they can be contemptuous all they want to. But guess what? I'm not budging from the book. Amen. Why? I believe it's the best book out there. Amen. It's the only book for salvation. It's the only book to know God Almighty. It's the only book that's going to get you to glory. It's the only book that's going to keep you out of misery. Amen. A lot of self-help books out there, but you can't beat this one, amen. This is the greatest book. And by the way, it ain't about self-help. It's about the Savior's help. Amen. You could never do it anyway. That's why you need Jesus. If you could save yourself, then go for it, amen. But I guarantee you, if you can save yourself, you won't see heaven. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth. And he's alive. And this book is all about him. Amen. And so we've been talking about standing for the Bible all month long. And talking about how we need the Bible. There's a poem here that I like, and it's not really a poem, it's actually a song. And it goes like this. Mid the storms of doubt and unbelief we fear, stands a book eternal that the saints hold dear. Through the restless ages it remains the same, 'tis the book of God, and the Bible is its name. The refrain is this in the song, the old book and the old faith are the rock on which I stand. The old book and the old faith are the bulwark of the land. Through storm and stress they stand the test, in every clime and nation blessed. The old book and the old faith are the hope of every land. 'Tis the book that tells us of the Father's love, when he sent his Son to us from heaven above, who by richest promise creates hope within. For 'tis through his blood we are saved from every sin. 'Tis the book that tells us of the will of God and the Savior's teachings while the earth he trod. How he soothed earth's sorrows and relieved its woes. Through whom strength is given to conquer every foe. 'Tis the book that tells of eternal life after faithful service in a world of strife. And this glorious triumph over the death's dark spheres is the world's best gift in an age of countless tears. Oh, the grand old book and the fear of old faith are the rock on which I stand. Oh, the grand old book and the dear old faith are the hope of every land. And that was written by George H. Carr. A lot of truth in that. A lot of truth in that. Now, I don't know how dear you hold the Bible. But I'm like with Job said, I need more of my necessary food. I got to have it. Got to have it. By the way, young people, I encourage you. We talked about this in Sunday school. You are living in a society right now where you are being inundated to accept the world's contemporary culture attitude on homosexualities and gays and same-sex marriage and all sorts of immorality. And you're being conditioned that if you don't accept this, then you're not up with the times. I beg to differ. You are very much up with the times. Because God said what he said. He doesn't change his mind. He's not going to accept homosexuality now. He didn't accept it then. And he's not going to accept it in the future. Amen. Now, man has an option. They can accept his salvation and get a new heart and get changed and get turned over from that. Amen. But I guarantee you this, if you get saved, you can't continue to practice that being saved. Amen and amen. Some people say, well, you know, I'm saved and I'm still a gay homosexual. No, that's just like saying I can be saved and still be a thief. Come on now. That's like saying I can be saved and still be a murderer. I can be saved and still be a cheat. I can still be saved and still do these things and practice them. That's what I'm talking about. You cannot do it. When God changes your heart, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So my friend, when you get saved, God changes you. But this culture is being inundated to accept that foolishness as fact. Yep. Amen. So young people, it behooves you to have a steady diet of the Word of God. You've got to get in it. You've got to love it. You've got to believe it. You've got to get in it. Because I'm telling you what, this society is going to try and change your mind. And God's mind's already made up on the issue. You just need to join up with God and get his mind. And so this book is what you need. This book is what I need. We began talking about standing for the Bible. And we saw our English word Bible comes from Biblia in Latin and Biblios in the Greek. And the word means book or books. The Bible is a compilation of 66 books, we said, written over a period of about 1,500 to 1,600 years by about 40 different authors. And they're different authors, yet one book. And it's preeminent over all books and is the book of books and still the best-selling book of all time. Amen. We said the book's purpose is the mind of God. In other words, God wants you to know his mind. By the way, you can't know the mind of God without the Word of God. No more than my children can know my mind without my word. Let me see. Gregory, tell me, what am I thinking right now? No, but that's a good thought. The Chicago Bulls winning the championship. That's a good thought, but that's not what I'm thinking. What am I saying? He can't know my mind unless I open up and audibly tell him my mind. You and I can't know the mind of God without the word of God. And so the Bible tells me the mind of God. It tells me the purpose of God. God's purpose is to reconcile you to himself through his son. Amen. Amen. He knows you're lost. Back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lost it all. Mm-hmm. And so the Bible then gives you God's mind and God's purpose for you. By the way, the person without the Bible, without the mind of God, without the purpose of God, they're lost.
Oh, yes.
They're lost. Yes, sir, so the book's purpose is the mind of God. The book's person is the Son of God. The book's power is the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, it is by this book called the Word of God, coupled with the Spirit of God, that you get convicted. Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, I was okay in my sin until I heard about this book. Mm-hmm. Until somebody said, the wages of sin is death, son. And I thought, what? Mm-hmm. But it said, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah. I said, you mean I'm doomed? I'm going to hell, but God wants to save me? Hey, it's the Spirit of God that told me that. By the way, if you're not convicted by the Spirit of God, you can't be saved.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Because it is the Spirit of God who convinces you and convicts you of your wrong and your error before God. And he makes you see that there is nothing else you can do. My friend, February 3rd, 1991, you couldn't stop me from getting saved once the Spirit of God convicted me. Once the Spirit convicted me, I'm like, let's get to the amen. I got to get this thing settled. You talked to Brother Hall and Pastor White. Amen. Brother Hall said he came in there talking about North Carolina. He said, look, I don't need North Carolina. I need Jesus. I need a country called heaven.
Amen, Pastor.
That's why, but let's talk about this. No, let's not talk about that. Let's get saved.
Let's get saved.
What am I talking about? When the Spirit convicts you, you can't do anything but say yes or no.
Amen.
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 And I said yes.
Oh, yes.
Now, many have said no.
Yes, sir, they have.
Many have said no. But guess what? I said yes. Why? The Spirit of God. See, the mind of God was made known to me. The purpose of God was explained to me. you're on your way to hell, son, and you need to get saved.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And then I saw the Son of God who died for me, and the Spirit of God opened my eyes and said, son, you're either going to accept this or you got nothing else to accept. Mm-hmm. And I thought, whoa, I want that.
Wow.
And guess what? I got gloriously born again, February 3rd, 1991. And I ain't been the same since. Am I perfect? No. Am I sinless? No. But I do manage to sin less. Amen. Hey, that's what I'm saying. Any man being Christ, he's a new creature. What is that all by? This book. This nation has lost this book. It's gone away from this book. It's diluted this book. It's got all kind of substitute books out there and pseudo books out there. But they are not the same as this book. Albeit, you can still get saved from those books. But I tell you what, they leave out a whole lot of good doctrinal principles from this book. Amen. And so we talked about the book's purpose is the mind of God. The book's person is the Son of God. The book's power is the Holy Spirit of God. We said that the books or the Bible is divided into two main sections, the Old and New Testaments, which can be called covenants or agreements. And those two testaments are designated relationships that existed between God and his people. By the way, the Old Testament primarily concerns the nation of Israel. The New Testament primarily concerns the church. And so we began talking about the Old Testament, the Jews kept by law. The New Testament, Christians performed by love, we said. The Old Testament law, the Jews had to do to be right by God. And the New Testament, Christians demonstrate love to show they are already right before God. We are no longer working to be right by God. We're already right by God because we have the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you don't have to work to be righteous?
Amen.
You know, sometimes you have that sibling rivalry. I know with me and my sisters. You know, we was always trying to one-up one another, look good in my parents' eyes. You know, my oldest sister did something and my parents applauded her. Guess what I tried to do? I tried to do the same thing so I can get that applause. My sister came home with a good report card. Straight A's. Mama, look what I got. And I thought, I can do that too. I came out and said, look, Mama, what I got. She said, oh, it's not all straight A's. I know. But aren't you going to applaud me like you applauded Fee? Louder, please. I wanted what she had. What happened? That rivalry. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that to be right by God?
Amen.
We don't have to please God in that respect to try to earn our righteousness. Now, we should please God to serve him.
Yes, sir.
But not so that he can look down and say, well, you know, you worked hard, so let me give you a higher place in heaven. No.
No.
That's God does that all on his own. And so we work because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the Bible or the book? When speaking of God's written collective words, its most widely used terms were the Word of God and the Scriptures, and we saw that. The Bible, we saw, is the Word of God, and of all the names given to the Bible, this title, Word of God, is the most impressive and significant and the most applicable. And we saw these points. We have our belief in God by the Word of God or the Bible. Romans 10:17 says it this way, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. We found that we battle by the Word of God or the Bible, Ephesians 6:17, which we just saw, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. We have our baggage exposed by the Word of God or the Bible, Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the Bible is the Word of God. We saw the Bible also is the Scriptures or Scripture. The word Scripture is found 32 times. The word Scripture is found 21 times, referring to the Word of God. Jesus questioned their reading of the Bible or the Scriptures in Matthew 21:42. He said, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures? We found out Jesus said we can err not knowing the Bible or the Scriptures. In Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. By the way, there are a lot of people that err on the item called salvation,
yes, sir,
not knowing the Scriptures. They're ready to go back to the Old Testament and keep a law that never could save them. It just was there to show them that they needed a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
There's others that think baptism saves you. There's others that think speaking in tongues saves you. There's others that think that, well, you got to give so much money to the church and that saves you. It's not going to save you.
That's
not going to hurt the church either. But it's not going to save you. There's others thinking, well, I need to keep the golden rule. Some think, well, I just need not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. No. You're saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we're saved by the power of God. Jesus said concerning the scriptures, I point to him for eternal life. 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. There they which testify of me. And so we saw the scriptures, or scripture as the word of God. We saw the word of God is the word of God. And we saw the Bible is the Old and New Testaments. The Old Testament or Old Covenant was given at Mount Sinai. Concerning the Jewish people, the New Testament or the New Covenant was made in the upper room and was sealed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And concerning New Testament Christians, Jesus said in the upper room, as we repeat during communion in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So today, what we're going from what is the Bible to what's in the Bible. What's in the Bible? By the way, you can have a Bible and still not be saved.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Amen. Amen. And you can have a Bible and not know what's in it and not be saved.
Amen.
Case in point, my children somewhere along the household lost the remote control to the television.
Oh, no.
Now, it's in the house somewhere, but we don't know in the house where it's at. And so we can't control the TV without that. It's been pretty peaceful without it. Amen. Because it very rarely comes on, because you can't change the channels when it comes on. Amen. And so it's been quite peaceful not having them.
Amen.
Dad ventured out to get another remote control. And Dad didn't want to venture to get one because it was going to cost Dad. And so Dad went out and got the remote. And I said, how much is the remote? And they said, it's free. And I said, well, Dad likes it now. And so Dad bought the remote home. And I said, is it just like my last remote? They said, yes, just like your last remote. I said, so I should just be able to put the batteries in and play it, right? He said, yes. Famous last words.
Oh boy.
He said, but if you get stuck on the back, there's some directions. Mm-hmm. So I got him out and got him in there.
Mm-hmm.
Turned the TV on. I said, great, it works just like he said. Start pushing buttons. And one button didn't work.
Oh, no.
Off and on. Then I found out another button didn't work. Mute.
Oh.
Then I found another button didn't work. Oh. Volume. Now, on the TV, it shows you that the volume is going up, and it shows you that the going is down, but the volume doesn't change. It shows up that it's muted, but it doesn't mute. And I said, now I got to get the instructions out. And I got to read and see what this thing is all about. And you know what? Some people are just like that. They have a Bible, and they are too lazy to read and see what it says. They don't want to get in the Bible and see what it says. Let me go ask somebody else. And so just like most people, I did the same thing. Anybody know how this thing works? Got directions in my hand. Anybody know how this thing works? Y'all see what I'm seeing? Well, how do we do that? And on the back are the instructions right there, plain as day.
Amen.
And some of y'all are like that.
Amen.
Somebody give me an amen. You know what?
Amen.
You're going to figure it out some way. You don't need no instructions. I'm going to figure it out. I'll press every button on here until it self-destructs or something. You'll go to every book, everything except the book, the Bible, to find out what God wants for your life. Amen, folks. It doesn't work that way.
Amen.
I've got to get into the instructions and see what it says. Amen. So what is the Bible and what's in the Bible are two totally different things.
Yes, sir.
And then when I find out what the Bible is and what's in the Bible, guess what? I got to do something with it.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't mean no good to read the instructions on the controls and not do anything with it. I still won't have a mute. I still won't have a volume. I still won't have an on, and I still won't have an off.
Uh-huh.
Now I have everything else.
Amen.
I think. I haven't tried the other buttons.
Yeah.
But what am I saying here? We've got to find out what's in the Bible, just like finding out what's in the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
The many things in the Bible, however, none as important as the way. We talked about that last week. You can know all about the grandma's house, and you can know all about the best place you want to go. You can know all about the mall. You can know all about these other things. But if you don't know the way, it's not going to help you any. Well, I want to go to such and such a place. Well, how do you get there? Amen. You got to know the way.
Yes, sir, you do.
Monique just had a wedding yesterday. Guess what she gave? Directions to the place. I got to know the way to get there. If I don't know the way, guess what? I can't get there. So you can give me all you want to and say, come to my wedding. Come to this. Come out and see me. But you don't give me a direction.
That's right.
One of the most important things that's in the Bible is the way. The most important thing in the Bible pertaining to us is the way to God, which is ultimate goal, the way to heaven and the way to avoid hell. In the Old Testament, man lost it all in the Garden of Eden. In the New Testament, Jesus prayed about it all in the Garden of Gethsemane and paid for it all on the cross of Calvary. That's what we need to know. That's it, amen. By the way, the goal and the purpose of the Bible is to get man back and then to send man back into the world to get somebody else. That's the whole goal of the Bible. Let me give you some righteous living so you can get back in the world and bring somebody else with you.
Amen.
Amen. Otherwise, God would have taken us right away. When the questions came up about the way to heaven, Jesus answered the disciples by saying he was the way. Go back to John chapter 14 with me. John chapter 14. Because we're talking about what's in the Bible. The most important thing for you and I is the way. Let me give you this as well, and you say, preacher, I already know the way. That's great. But God didn't give you the way just so that you can keep the way to yourself.
Amen.
He gave you the way so you can show someone else the way. So that you can tell someone else, hey, I found the way, this is the way.
Amen.
Why do you think people need directions? Mm-hmm. The way. John 4:14, notice verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house or many mansions. For not so I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. God, Jesus, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Folks, that same cry is going out all across the world right now. Hey, we want to get back to God. We want to be right with God. We want to go to heaven. We don't know the way. Somebody show us the way. That cry is going out still today.
Amen.
Folks, I was 27 years old in 1991, and I had that same cry. I don't know the way. I'm a grown adult. I've been baptized. I've been in Catholic school. I've been in Baptist churches. I've been approached by the Mormons. I've been approached by the Jehovah's Witnesses. I've been approached by these other groups. I've been approached by all of them, but none of them could give me the way. And still at age 27, I wanted to know the way. My friend, the most important thing for you and I is the way. The disciples said, how can we know the way? Now, they had been with Jesus all this time. How can we know the way? Folks, there are people sitting in good, independent, fundamental Bible-preaching churches day in and day out that don't know the way. And it's not because the preacher didn't preach it. It's because they were closed to it. They were desensitized to it. They thought they already had it. They thought they had some faction of it. But they had a form of godliness, but they're denying the power of it. Folks, we've got to be so careful to be in good preaching churches and hear the truth week after week and not get saved.
Amen.
I didn't know the way. And there are others that don't know the way. And so he didn't give you the way to keep the way to yourself. He said, now let me show somebody else. This is the way. This is the way. See that one right there? His name is Jesus Christ. He was crucified for you. They took him down. They buried him for you. But he rose again the third day for you. That's the way. He didn't give you the way to keep it to yourself. He gave you the way to take somebody else. But we have this idea that the whole world knows the way because they have the Bible. The whole world knows the way because they have John 3:16. The whole world knows the way because I know the way. No. If the whole world knew the way, the whole world would probably get saved if they knew the way. But they need someone to give them the word of God that can get the Spirit of God to convict their heart and show them that they don't have the way. Hey, until someone exposed my way that I had previously and told me that that's not the way, but this is the way, and the Spirit of God cut my heart and said, oh, my soul, I don't have that way. I want that way. Folks, it's not going to make a difference. And so what is the Bible and what's in the Bible is the way. And it's very, very important. And so he told the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Down in verse 6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, I've been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He says, Philip, if you don't believe anything else at all, look at what I'm doing. Can anyone that's not God do this? Can anyone that's not the Son of God do this? Have you ever seen it on this fashion, Philip? Can anyone equate to what I'm doing right now? Nobody can. And so he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also in greater works than these. Shall he do because I go unto my Father? He's going to give him the Holy Spirit. So the way is the greatest thing that you and I can know. Then by the grace of God, he also gives us the way to wholeness, the way to holiness, and the way to healthiness. By the way, when God gave us the way to salvation, aren't you glad he didn't leave you to yourself?
Amen.
Amen. Now think about it. God could have saved you and left you in the gutter. He could have saved you and left you in sin. He could have saved you and left you in your lies and your filth. He could have saved you and left you in that. But in his grace, he didn't. He said, I'm going to save you and put in you a new heart. You're not going to like that anymore. The spirit in you is not going to like that anymore. You're going to want to get out of that. And if you get in my book, it can get you out of that. But far be it from me. Many folk don't get in the book to get out of that. And as Peter said, they've forgotten, they were purged from their old sins because they go right back to them. So by God's grace, he gives us the way. And then he gives us the way to wholeness and holiness and the way to healthiness. You say, preacher, healthiness? Yes. Why would I say healthiness? Because sin can make you sick. Sin can make you sick. Let me just read off a couple things that medical science can tell you. The Surgeon General warns that smoking causes what? Cancer. Drugs can impair and kill or cause you to kill someone else. Alcohol can cause liver problems and cirrhosis of the liver. Worry and stress can bring on high blood pressure. My sister's a medical doctor. She sent all these things talking about music can help you now. Well, duh, we knew that from the David and the Psalms, looking at King Saul when he played for Saul. We know that. Well, music now can help you. Negative energy now can harm you, she said. I knew that all. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the dark. Somebody read the Bible.
Amen.
Well, negative energy can hurt you now, Jesse, so you should stay away from negative energy. Well, praise God, everybody's got negative energy because we're all sinners. Well, you know, good music can help soothe you, Jesse. What do we put on for babies? Lullaby. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Some of y'all heard that already as soon as I opened up the Bible.
Amen.
What am I saying here? Alcohol can cause problems. Worry and stress can bring on high blood pressure. Guilt can bring on depression. Depression can lead to suicidal thoughts and tendencies. Envy, jealousy, and bitterness can sour the soul. Anger can lead to murder. Immorality, adultery, and fornication can lead to life-threatening STDs. Here's one that Christians have a problem with. Even gluttony can bring on serious health issues and deadly consequences. Gluttony. By the way, did y'all know that's a sin? And what do you often see? Preachers that are rotund. And you know what they often don't preach on? Gluttony. And guess what? It's just as harmful as some of the other ones. What am I saying? Once God gives us the way, he gives us by his grace the way to wholeness, the way to holiness, and the way to healthiness. Because there's a lot of things out there medically that have been proven that can cause all sorts of illnesses. By the way, how many of y'all heard about the teenager out there that died a couple, several weeks ago, had too many Starbucks drinks and then had some energy drinks on top of that, 16-year-old.
Whoa.
And then went out to, I think, a sports practice or something like that and died of a massive heart attack. Had them Starbucks. Amen. We all like Starbucks. Praise God. Give me my Starbucks. But not when you're 16 years old. You can't handle that much caffeine. Then he got those energy drinks. Then he went out there and dropped dead and collapsed of a heart attack. Wow. What am I saying? Sin can make your heart race faster than that stuff. You get in sin,
Sin will make your heart. Why? Because there's a God looking at you. And the Holy Spirit tells you he's looking at you. And you know you're guilty before God. What am I saying? What's in the Bible? Hey, amen. If I know what's in the Bible, God can help me to healthiness and holiness and happiness. Amen. Why? Because it still works. Sin will cause your heart to race even faster, not meant to mention lying and stealing and coveting. The Bible gives us the way to avoid all that. It's more than a bedtime story to read to children at night. It's more than something to read for a good Bible story. The most important thing in the Bible pertaining to you and I is the way to heaven, the way to avoid hell. Jesus Christ is that way. By the way, Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's the only way. And most folks can tell you what the Bible is. Others can even tell you what's in the Bible. But then they're not going to do anything with what's in the Bible. Because if I know what's in it, I got to do something with it. By the way, the day that I heard the gospel message, I was accountable. Mm-hmm. When you hear the word of God, you're accountable. You're accountable. The Bible has so many directive designated type words. What else is in the Bible? Let's look at a few things here real quick and we're going to be done. The next designated words I'm about to mention are frequently used to detail what to do with what's in the Bible. They're not the only designated words, just some of the more frequently used in the Bible, specifically in the Old Testament, because the New Testament is lived by the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to Nehemiah chapter number 9 with me real quick. Nehemiah. You might have seen the Bible song to get there, amen, but you'll be all right. Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9, I want to show you several of those words contained in one verse. Nehemiah, of course, Nehemiah is encouraging them to rebuild the wall. Nehemiah chapter 9, notice down in verse number 12. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloud of pillar. He's recounting Israel's journey through the wilderness. Chapter 9, verse number 12. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai. And notice what he says in verse 13. And spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them, notice this, right judgments. What is that? That's a designation for the word of God. Right designations. And he said this is, right judgments. And what else? True laws. And what else? Good statutes. And what? And commandments. And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. And so he gives you several of these terms down here. Let me give you some definitions for them very, very quickly here. In verse number 13. He says down there, spake with them from heaven and gave us them right judgments. This designation means, right means straight or upright. Judgments is formal decrees or divine laws, verdicts to pronounce sentences, judgments. That is to say, this is what's going to happen. By the way, when you go to a court of law, they give you a judgment assessed to your account once you break a law. They pronounce something. And so God is saying, I've got some right judgments for you. Amen. Then he says some true laws down there. True means stable or trustworthy or established. And he says laws are precepts or statutes. And most of these are interchangeable. By the way, how many of y'all abide by the laws of the land? Mm-hmm. Well, I hope y'all do.
Amen.
What happens when you break the law? Jail. Amen. Not all the time. What happens when you break your parents' laws? Sometimes you need to get corrected. Did you know that when you break the law of the land, their goal is not to correct you? It's to punish you. It's not to correct you. It's to pretty much extract from you a punishment. The penal systems, the prisons, aren't to correct people. It's to punish them for their sin. It's not to correct them. Why do you think there's so many repeat offenders? They didn't get corrected, amen? Then you have others like me who got corrected by a parent, and then I did the wrong thing, and then I got put in that system, and I thought, I like mom's correction a whole lot better. And guess what? I didn't go back. Why? I learned from the correction, not from the institution. So laws are not there to make you feel good about yourself. They're there to show you did wrong. And so he said, look, I gave you right judgments. I gave you true law. That's part of what the Bible is. And the Ten Commandments are laws, and they're right laws, and they're good laws, amen. We don't get saved by them, neither do we live by them, amen. But it's a principle that is there for us. He says something else down there as well, good statutes. And verse number 13. A statute, good means prosperous or beneficial. It's for your welfare. Statutes are decrees, ordinances, laws, or commandments. Again, what is he saying? He says, Israel, this was given to you at Mount Sinai. I gave you right judgments. I gave you true laws. I gave you good statutes. I gave you these good commandments. What's a commandment? A good means prosperous, beneficial. Again, commandments are laws, ordinances, precepts, charges, or orders. Amen. It's something that's given to you, discharged to you with authority and with a trust that you're going to do the command that was given to you. By the way, I have the easiest illustration. When y'all see a cop out there and he's got the whistle when the lights don't work and he does like this, what do? You know what he just gave you? A commandment. Now, if you run through him, guess what he's probably going to do? Shoot you. He's not going to shoot you. Let's hope he doesn't shoot you, amen. And get a Rambo flashback. Yeah, I'll get him, amen. Hopefully he's going to give you a ticket, amen. And so, who said shoot you? They probably should. They won't have that stuff going on no more, amen. They shoot more of them, amen. They stop that foolishness. Become like some of those Middle Eastern countries, amen. You steal, they cut your hand off, amen. Hard to steal with one hand, amen. You steal again, they cut that hand off. Now what you going to do? Get it with your toe? Be like Curious George, amen. Cut your foot off, then what you going to do, amen? Because you're hobbling around, you steal with that foot. Now you got nothing, what you going to do? Say, I'll hire one of those robots to steal for me. I don't know. It's just wicked, amen. So statutes are fixed obligations that comes from the root meaning to engrave. Commandments are given with authority and lodged with a trust. Not to obey a command is an act of rebellion, much like disobeying a parent. When you disobey your parent, guess what? They gave you a command. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is what? Right. And so the commandment is the same way. Show that again. Go over to Psalm 119 and verse number 2. Psalm 119 and verse number 2. What am I talking about? These are other designations of the word of God. Testimonies, commandments, statutes, laws, judgments. And Psalm 119, of course, this is the psalmist talking about how much he loves the word of God. And notice verse number 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled the way who walk in the law of the Lord. We just saw law. Blessed are they that keep his, notice his testimonies, his testimonies. Testimonies is another word for the word of God. Testimony means it's a witness or something that is said as law. So he says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies or his laws or that which he says that is law. He says, and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Notice verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. That's another word, precepts. Diligently keeping the precept. Keep means to guard, obey, maintain, or protect. And the word precept means is referring to the appointed mandates of God. It's something you're directed to do. So precepts are prescribed truths and deal with the conduct and conscience of man. And fulfilling of the precepts brings enjoyment to man. Every young person, if they're here today, would attest to the fact that when you do what your parents tell you, there's a sense of joy that comes in your heart. Number one, that you're not going to have to get corrected. But number two, that you please your parent. Hey, it's the same way with God. When we obey a precept, it's the overwhelmingness of, yes, I obeyed my Father in heaven. But number two, I pleased him. Especially when I do it with the right spirit and the right heart. God wants a contrite heart. He wants a willing heart. He wants a giving heart. He doesn't want a grudging or a constrained heart that's by force having to do these things. And by the way, these laws were put down here, and they weren't right by God. If they didn't do these, they weren't right by God. Aren't you glad we don't have to live by these to that degree? But we do have to principally live by them, because Jesus said it this way, thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So encompassed in this is my love of God. And I love God, I won't offend him in any of these things. And also if I love my neighbor, I won't offend them in any of these things by God's grace. But by living for the command, no, I'm living for God. There's a difference. I can live for a command or I can live by God. And that's the law of love in the New Testament. And so we see what's in the Bible. What's in the Bible? Good statutes, good commandments, testimonies, precepts, laws, judgments, right judgments, true laws. And by the way, all of that so that we can please God. And take this into consideration as well. All the laws, the precepts, the judgments, can we hurt God if we don't do them? How are you going to hurt God? Can man kill God? No. But guess what God is trying to get us to do? Not hurt each other. He loves each and every one of us. That's why when we get involved in those things that could hurt us, drugs and immorality and fornication, those things, he is pained in his heart because he knows you're hurting yourself as well as hurting someone else. And so he says, I want you to live by these wholeness laws, these healthiness, and it'll give you happiness and it'll keep you healthy in your relationships if you do them. And by the way, God's word should not be grievous. So what's in the book? What's in the Bible? The way. The way to God's judgments and right judgments and his true laws. The way to his good statutes. The way to his good commandments. The way to his testimonies that we need to keep and his precepts that he is wanting to live through us. And by the way, Psalm 119, which we're at right now, details my love of them. Because the psalmist is talking about how he loves them. Notice down there in verse number 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. He's talking about how he loves it. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. By the way, before you read the word of God, that's a good prayer to pray. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, show me something new today that I don't already know. Lord, show me something that I used to do that I need to start doing again. Lord, show me something that's going to make my life prosperous today. Lord, as I look into your word, open my eyes, Lord. I may have blinders on. I may have sin may have clouded my vision. But Lord, I want you to open my eyes so I can see you, so I can see myself. Because if I don't see you in the word of God, I can't see myself. I need the mirror open. I need it clean. I need to wash my eyes. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Much filth as you see today in this world, you need God to open your eyes. As much filth that's around us, you need God to open your eyes. We're inundated with it on the television and the media, social media. It's out there on Facebook, on notebook, of any kind of book. Amen. It's out there. Even in the textbook, we go that far. Amen. Because they're condoning a lot of this foolishness. And so I've got to say, open down mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so what is the Bible? It's the word of God. It's the scriptures. It's scripture. It's the old. It's the New Testaments. What's in the Bible? The way of God's right judgments, his true laws, his good statutes, his good commandments, his testimonies, his precepts. It's there. Next week, we're going to finish this area out with Psalm 19. If we live them, there's a benefit to us. The psalmist said over there, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. So he lets you know that if you keep them, if you do them, now we're not keeping them to be saved, but it's helping our lives. And by the way, God gave us this book to help us. It's not helping him at all. And so if you don't read this book, guess what? The instructions from the Cox controls for the remote control, it's not helping the Cox people at all. They know how to do it already. It's helping poor souls like me who don't know how to do it. They look, you take that and you follow that and you be good. God says, here's my word. You take it and you'll be fine if you do it. But if you don't do it, woe unto you. Woe unto you. Hey, just like my television, you won't be able to turn your volume down. You won't be able to mute your mouth when you need to mute your mouth. You won't be able to turn off the lust of the flesh when you need to turn off the lust of the flesh. Amen. I can't turn off my TV. I can't turn it on either. Some people think, I can turn on the spirit and turn on the flesh. Turn on the spirit and turn on the flesh. Turn on. And to a degree, you're true. Amen. But guess what? Why worry about that when you can just turn on the spirit and keep them on? Once you get in that flesh, it'd be hard-pressed to turn that flesh off. be like my remote control. Amen. Got to go and get another control to turn off the TV. What kind of sense does that make? Got about five controls for one TV.
Wow.
Like, Lord, where's that universal stuff? I know. Let's just throw it all out. Amen. There you go. Just throw it all out. Amen. And get back the chisel and the hammer and we'll be fine. Folks, what am I saying? What's the Bible? It's God's word to us. God wants to reveal his purposes to us. He wants to reveal his will to us. He wants to reveal his son to us. He wants to reveal to you the Holy Spirit so that you can do what you ought to do. But you know what? Today, if you're not here, the most important thing for you is the way. The way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And perhaps today, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you need to accept the way. Oh, you've been fumbling along and doing the best you can, but it's not about the best that you can. It's about what's already been done. Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Perhaps today, you need the way and you need to be saved. Perhaps you're already saved and perhaps you need to share the way with somebody else. You need to tell somebody else about being saved. Would you do that today? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Just for a moment. Talking about what is the Bible. It's the best book ever written. The purpose in the mind of God. The book's purpose is the Son of God. The book's power is the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe today God's speaking in your hearts. Maybe you need to be saved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, bless now and this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Perhaps you would say, right where you're sitting, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm in the way of salvation. I'm not sure that I'm born again. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not absolutely sure. Would you pray for me that I can get that thing settled? Not positive. I won't call you out. Won't pick you out, but I do want to pray for you. And perhaps today you say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm born again. And if I die, I may not go to heaven. I may have to go to that place called hell, but pray for me. Anyone like that at all, you raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. Man, woman, boy, or girl, we talked about the way. Jesus Christ is the way. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never repented of your sins. You've never been born again. Anyone like that at all? Second of all, then, perhaps you received the way. Maybe there's someone that you know that needs the way. Oh, they're religious. They do the best they can. Maybe they're a coworker, maybe a friend, maybe a relative, maybe someone in your own household. Maybe you say, preacher, would you pray for me that I could show them the way? They may not receive it, but I want to show them the way. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. There's someone that I want to share the way with. Amen. Amen. By the way, all of us know somebody. All of us know somebody. Amen. You may put them down. And we should desire to share the way with them. We know how we used to be. And oh, we don't want them to be that same way. By the way, more people on your side is going to be better for your workplace, your school, your home, your environment. And lastly, how many would say, preacher, I need to surrender for baptism. I've been born again, but I need to surrender for baptism. I need to make that happen. Maybe that's you. Father, thank you for these that have responded. Some for baptism, some saying they have others that need the way. And oh God, we can't make them be saved, but we can sure show them the way. And we can show them he who is the way. And Lord, help us to have on the helmet of salvation, to live like we're born again, that others can see it, not just hear it. But then Lord, help us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and share the way with others that need it. Lord, thank you for your righteous judgments, your true laws. Lord, thank you for the statutes that are good and the commandments that are good and the testimonies and the precepts that are good. And Lord, we know we don't keep those to be saved, but we do want to be pleasing in your sight by treating others with love and loving you in heaven first and foremost. Help us today, Lord, as we take from this message things that we need to apply to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Amen. Heads are still bowed. Eyes are still closed. No one looking around. Maybe God spoke into your heart. Maybe you need to come. As Miss Natasha plays, Maybe God pressed upon your heart that coworker, maybe that family member, maybe that friend, maybe that person that you desire to share the way with, and their heart's hard. They won't receive. An old friend is not for you to break their hearts. It's not for you to try to crush their hearts. But friend, it's for you to pray for them. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone that you know dearly. I know there was someone that knew me and didn't want me to go to a place called hell. And they invested in me. They gave me the gospel. They gave me the way. I thought I had the way, but I didn't. Would you pray for that loved one? Would you pray for that coworker? Would you pray for that friend? Maybe today you're here and you don't know the way. You're amongst friends that want to help you, want to share with you the word of God. Would you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Would you come? I'll meet you down in front. Show you how to be born again. Only take a moment. And you too can experience what I experienced February 3rd, 1991. Someone took a Bible, opened it up, and showed me. God loved me. And I was on my way to hell as a sinner. But Christ loved me and died for me. Rose again the third day, and I could be saved. Perhaps today, you need to do that. Talking about what is the Bible, it's God's Word. It's the Scriptures. It's the book of books. It's the Old. It's the New Testament. It's all that and more. Preacher, what's in the Bible? Great things in the Bible. But none greater than the way. Once we're on the way, we can share with others. Once we know the way, we can give it to others. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Next week, we'll see what the Bible does when you get in it. And why your life is cleaned up right now. And why you can help get someone else's life cleaned up. Oh, I know we're not perfect. I know we're not what we want to be. But praise God, we're not what we used to be. And wouldn't you like someone else to have that too? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, lightening the eyes. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Oh, the benefits of the word of God. We'll see next week. It's not because God wants to help himself, but he wants to help you. Help yourself and help someone else. What a mighty God we serve. Our Father, thank you just for being such a gracious God. Lord, thank you for saving me years ago, February 3rd, 1991, saving my wife. Lord, and giving us those precepts, giving us those commandments, giving us those statutes. But most of all, giving us your Holy Spirit to be able to live a life pleasing in your sight. Lord, the Word of God gave us some wholeness, gave us some healthiness, got us away from some things that were hurtful to us. Lord, it gave us some happiness. Lord, it's not so much about happiness as it is about joy. Thank you for the joy that we can have. That's unspeakable and full of glory. Thank you, Lord, most of all for Jesus Christ, the way, who was shown to us February 3rd, 1991, so that we could be sure to avoid that place called hell and get that place called heaven. Lord, perhaps that one needs to come. And Lord, if so, don't give them peace until they get it settled today. Dismiss us with your blessings, Lord. Guide us and direct us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.